Douglas, tell us a little bit about how you can break down these shells around the calcium.
Right. And, George, again, we've gotten a couple of emails from people, and they're asking us where they can find a physician in their area that knows about this.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that if you go to our website and just go to our contact form and email us, we can put people through to the right contacts on this. And I also want to emphasize, by the way, we're not connected with selling any products related to this. We have chronicled this discovery, and we're independent writers on this, but we can tell people where they can find out about this. So if they go to calcify.com and they send us an email from the contact form, we'll definitely get back to them, and we won't send them any junk mail.
And honestly, after reading the book when you were with me in November, this is not a very complicated process to eradicate, is it?
Well, it's...
If you get the right practitioner who understands this, when you're talking about antibiotics and the substance that you use to kind of flush this stuff out,
well,
it's not difficult.
Well, here's the remarkable thing about it. When they were looking at this, these two scientists, and by the way, the two scientists are Dr. Alavi Kayander, who was really the discoverer of nanobacteria. And when I say nanobacteria, the interesting thing is that they actually misnamed it, because they've since discovered it's really not a bacteria. It is something else. It is some other type of particle that propagates in a way that is not completely understood. So people shouldn't get the wrong idea that this is a bacterium, because it actually is something else. It's
so
not a virus.
This is the new information.
That's right. It is not a virus. It has some form of unique structure that allows it to do this, and we'll get to that in a moment. But answering that question, the other scientist, by the way, before I forget, is Dr. Neva Shivsholu, and she is currently running the nanobacteria laboratory at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Johnson Space Center in Houston. And they are extremely interested in nanobacteria for a reason that I'll explain in a moment. But the first thing that they had to do was to immobilize this thing to study it. And so they tried a number of chemicals. And one of the things that they found was that this thing was extremely resistant, for example, to high heat, to radiation, to antibiotics. It was resistant to all these things, which explains partially why calcification hasn't been affected by any of these things. However, what they did was they decided to try what's known as a chelating chemical. And a chelating chemical is basically something that grabs minerals and you can excrete them from your body. For example, there's a chemical known as EDTA that has been approved by the FDA for many, many, many years for dealing with lead poisoning in children. And it's also approved by the FDA, by the way, in the thousands of tons as a use as a food preservative to prevent food spoilage. So it's been well known for years, and it's been well known that this stuff grabs calcium and calcium phosphate and can help to get rid of it. And so what they did was they first applied this EDTA, and then they applied an antibiotic once they had stripped off the calcium phosphate shell. And that was the trick. So here you have, for years and years, the medical community has been experimenting with antibiotics and heart disease. And what have they found? They found that antibiotics have absolutely no impact on the rate of heart attacks. There have been studies done on thousands of patients showing that, well, there seems to be some temporary impact, but actually in the long run, the impacts on the rate of heart attacks with antibiotics alone has been virtually nil. And on the other side, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the use of this EDTA in something known as intravenous chelation, which, as I said before, has been used effectively for lead poisoning in children, but then it was used in off-label prescriptions, for example, to deal with heart disease, and there's been a lot of controversy over, you know, whether it has been effective. And at the moment, no clinical trial study has really shown an effectiveness of EDTA intravenous chelation in reversing the number of heart attacks. So here you have a case where you've got two very well-known chemicals and drugs on their own, mm-hmm. have never been shown to be terribly effective in reducing the level of heart attacks. And they put these two things together in order to, in the lab, immobilize this particle and take it apart and try and figure it out, and realized at that point that they had the beginnings of a treatment. They used other chemicals too, by the way. They used something that is known as bisphosphonates, and they also used other chemicals. But the problem with these other drugs and chemicals is when you use them in the human body at those levels, they're toxic.
Right.
And so even though there are many different ways of immobilizing this infectious particle, they really couldn't use them on human beings because, you know, you'd cure the disease but kill the patient.
Sure.
So they decided, and actually there was a third player in this. There was a physician's assistant in Tampa, Florida, who had been using a chelation and observing it for quite some time and realizing that, you know, it seemed to be working for a while with patients, but then they just didn't work. It didn't work with them anymore, and they seemed to get worse. And he studied this for quite some time, and he combined it with nutraceuticals, and it still didn't happen to do the trick. And one night, he was surfing the internet, and he came across this website of these two scientists in Finland who had been working with this nanoparticle, and he realized that what he had been missing from this was the antibiotic component. And so he put the two of those together, the EDTA and the tetracycline, and a third group of nutraceuticals that have been shown in clinical trials, for example, to reduce inflammation. And lo and behold, he started to realize that some of his very ill heart patients were improving when they normally would be dead.
Hmm.
In other words, these were last gasp patients who really had run out of all other chances with their bypasses and their stents and their seven heart drugs that they were taking for the rest of their lives. And when he saw that, he hopped on a plane immediately over to Finland and corralled these two scientists and said, look, I think we've got the beginnings of a treatment for heart disease here, and I would like to try and get a clinical trial started on this. And this was sometime around the year 2000.
Okay.
And they thought he was nuts. They said, you know, come on, you're telling us that your heart patients are getting better? He said, yes, I've got a few patients that are really getting, they're improving, and they're very ill.
Didn't really know why at the time,
they
but he had his guesses.
Well, but then he understood in the lab what they were working with was this infectious particle, and that it was having its covering stripped off, and then its core immobilized, and he just put two and two together,